The Chinese food in China wasn't nearly as good as that to be found in L.A., Nomori thought. Probably the ingredients. And his first thought on entering this restaurant was that he didn't want to check the kitchen out. Like most Beijing restaurants, this one was a small mom-and-pop operation operating out of the first floor of a private home. The mission of the evening sat across from him. Lian Ming. She wore the standard off-blue boiler suit that was virtually the uniform of low-to-mid-level bureaucrats. Here everyone dressed the same, looked the same, talked the same. Except this one. There was something else to be had here, Nomori thought, and that's why he'd asked her to dinner. It was called Seduction, which had been part of the spy's playbook since time immemorial, though it would be a first for Nomori. With a little work, Ming might have been pretty, Nomori thought. Her eyes were lively and cute. She might even have had a decent figure, but it was hard to tell in that clothing. So, the new computer system works well? He asked. It is magical. The characters come out as though from a scribe. What does your minister think?
Oh, he is very pleased.
Pleased enough to place an order?
This I must ask the chief of administration, but I think you will be satisfied by the response.
That will make NEC happy, the CIA officer thought. His boss in Tokyo would have gagged on his sake to know whom Nomori really worked for. What books do you read? He asked.
Romances. Danielle Steele, Judith Krantz. America offers women so many more opportunities.
America is an interesting country, but chaotic, Nomori told her. At least in this society, one can know his place. I will tell you one thing I find bad here.
What is that?
Ming asked, not offended, which Nomori thought was very good indeed. Women should dress more attractively. In Japan, there is much variety in clothing. She giggled.
I would settle for the underthings. They must feel so nice on the skin. That is not a very socialist thought, she told him, setting down her cup.
The waiter came over, and with Nomori's assent, she ordered Mao Tai, a fiery local liqueur. The waiter returned with two small porcelain cups and a flask, from which he poured. The CIA officer nearly gasped with his first sip. Ming's skin, he saw, flushed from it, and there came the fleeting impression that a gate had just been opened. Not everything can be socialist. This restaurant is a private concern, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
So, what else can you tell me about yourself?
There is little to tell. My job is beneath my education, but it carries prestige. I see and hear interesting things.
Don't want to ask about them now, Nomori knew. It is the same with me, industrial secrets and such. Ah, better to leave such things at my official desk.
No, Lian, tell me about you. Again, there is little to tell. I am 24, I am educated, I suppose I am lucky to be alive. You know what happens to many girl babies here.
Nomori nodded. I have heard the stories, they are distasteful. It was more than that. It was not unknown for the father of a female toddler to drop her down a well in the hope that his wife would bear him a son on the next try. One baby per family was almost a law in the PRC, and like most laws in a communist state, that one was ruthlessly enforced. An unauthorized baby was often allowed to come to term, but then as birth took place, the attending physician would take a syringe loaded with formaldehyde and stab it into the soft spot at the crown of the almost newborn's head, push the plunger, and extinguish its life at the moment of its beginning. It wasn't something the government of the PRC advertised as government policy, but government policy it was. Had it been done to Jews, it would have been called genocide, but there were a lot of Chinese to go around. In due course, Chinese culture will again recognize the value of women, Ming. That is certain. So, are there any men in your life? She sighed.
No, not in some time.
Indeed. I find that surprising. Nomori lifted the flask. In that case, I offer you a friendly drink.
Thank you, Nomori-san.
My pleasure, Comrade Ming. It was the sort of coincidence for which police work is known worldwide. Provalov called militia headquarters And since he was investigating a homicide, he got to speak with the St. Petersburg murder squad leader, a captain. When he said he was looking for some former Spetsnaz soldiers, the captain remembered his morning meeting, in which two of his men had reported finding two bodies bearing possible Spetsnaz tattoos, and that was enough to make him forward the call. "Really, the RPG event in Moscow?" Yevgeny Petrovich Ustinov asked. "Who exactly was killed?"
"The main target appears to have been Grigory Filipovich Avseenko. He was a pimp," Provalov told his colleague to the north.
"And your sources tell you that two Spetsnaz veterans did the shooting?"
"Correct, and they flew back to St. Petersburg soon thereafter."
"I see.
Well, we fished two such people from the River Neva yesterday. We have fingerprints from both bodies. We're waiting for Central Army records to match them up. But that will not be very fast."
"Let me see what I can do about that, Yevgeny Petrovich.
You see, also present at the murder was Sergei Nikolaevich Golovko, and we have concerns that he might have been the true target."
"That would be ambitious.
Perhaps your friends at Dzerzhinsky Square can get the records morons moving?"
"I will call them."
"Good. Anything else?"
"Another name, Suvorov, Klementy Ivanich, reportedly a former KGB officer. Does the name mean anything to you?"
"Yet, never heard that one."
"My informant thinks he's the man who arranged the killing."
"I'll check our records here to see if we have anything on him. This Avseenko fellow, also KGB?"
"Yes. He reportedly ran the Sparrow School."
"Oh, a state-trained pimp. Marvelous. Let me know what you find out."
"Yes, I will fax you my notes."
"Excellent. I will share my information with you as well," Ustinov promised.
In his dreary Moscow office, Lieutenant Provalov made his notes. He'd only been there for 5 minutes when a familiar hand touched his shoulder.
"Hello, Mishka," Provalov said without turning.
"Anything happening on the pimp case?"
"Yes. The two who did the killing may have shown up dead in St. Petersburg. What do you make of that?"
"Well, at least to give you some more leads to run down. Maybe your two shooters talked to somebody."